Today's the day that we expose the media for exactly who they are. There will never be another question about whether or not they are telling the truth or reporting with integrity. It is the 3rd of August, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. I'm praying for you. Just know that. Censorship is one of the biggest stories of our lifetime. Eliminating the right to speak freely, legitimately threatening people, punishing or even attacking anyone that disputes a certain set of facts or dares to question a certain science. Open debates, expert opinions, even documented data that raise legitimate questions about, say, a supposedly transparent and free election process. Suppressing forensic audits that might hurt your feelings but definitely change your future because they provide indisputable numbers are ignored, disputed, even dismissed as conspiracy theory. Imagine living in times where tragic deaths are reported by family members to a government website, and then those numbers are tampered with, changed, removed, reduced in the name of political control, population compliance, an agenda aimed at forcing subservience from every single global citizen. And it's all pushed through a complicit and corrupt media that many have been programmed to trust. They believe that journalists are actually doing the right thing, that they're looking out for their brothers and sisters in humanity, that they're reporting with honesty and integrity. Exposing corruption, asking tough questions, demanding accountability. That is the very purpose of the media, bringing cases before the court of public opinion. That is what a media is designed to do. But in today's times, these writers, these editors, commentators, they are all slaves to a very powerful and controlling master. And that master holds their publications, their television networks, their radio broadcasting companies hostage. The power of that master is so enormous that these oligarchs can actually force a health system to become weaponized against the very people who we revered, lifted up as heroes at the inception of the control of virus, the frontline nurses and doctors. That system can become so weaponized that it will actually be aimed at a highly respected doctor who then gets sued for going on a national broadcast and warning the world about what appears to be, in his experience, in his opinion, the most deadly rollout of an injection the world has ever seen. And there's more and more evidence pouring out every single day that supports his opinion. Now, we're about to show you footage. Footage of a Zoom meeting conducted by the editor at the Daily Mail. That publication is a UK-based online so-called news reporting agency with an arm in many countries, owned by DMGT with its main office in Stamford, Connecticut, many other offices here in the United States, including in California and Massachusetts. The company operates in over 40 countries. It's huge. Through its subsidiaries, RMS, DMG Information, DMG Events, DMG Ventures, DMG Media. According to Wikipedia, that company is listed on the London Stock Exchange and manages a portfolio of companies with total revenues of about $277 billion. The Daily Mail is Australia's largest red newspaper, and its editor, Barclay Crawford, is responsible for what citizens of that country see. He decides the news. He controls the message. And the footage that I'm about to show you was taken during a recent staff conference. There were several editors in the room, many employees and journalist writers joining via Zoom because a lot of staff members were working at home. Sydney, Australia, in the state of New South Wales, is currently experiencing stage 5 lockdowns. Martial law is in force in Sydney. The federal police are flying overhead in helicopters with bullhorn announcements meant to intimidate their people. The federal police and the army are on the streets going door to door, literally forcing vaccinations. There have been reports of military personnel and police actually physically pinning down citizens in Sydney, forcefully jabbing them in the name of health and safety. I'm not saying this for hyperbole. I'm not saying this for shock value reporting, clicks, likes, followers, and retweets, but it should shock you. because the truth is not being reported. And it is the fundamental purpose of this program to show you that what I'm saying is not being exaggerated. The military is working against the freedom of its people, using heavy equipment, rolling up and down the streets of a country where once free citizens roamed. And if it can happen in that country, it can happen anywhere. The media is pushing a fear narrative, letting citizens know the army will overpower you. Parents, you should stay away from your children. And now pushing this Lambda variant as something even more scary than Delta, which we have shown evidence does not even exist, but rather is just a set of symptoms caused by antibody-dependent enhancement, which is a reaction instigated by the shots being falsely referred to as vaccines. As the editor of the Daily Mail in Australia, Barclay Crawford's agenda could not be more clear. Now, this footage is exclusive to the United States, being seen for the first time here on The Stu Peters Show. Look.
So thanks to everyone who's got it. You're all champions. That's really good. And we'll keep trying to run stories that call out the anti-vax weirdos and point out why we need to get it and why it's important, you know, and why we don't want Australia regressing to some, you know, but the reason why we have medicine and medical science is for things like this, and it's amazing and should be celebrated and not run down. And I know you will see a lot of comments on our stories from people who should know better. A lot of them are. I mean, we've been speaking in these conferences about anti-vaxxers and how it's extraordinary how many intelligent, otherwise well-educated people are spreading this disease really out there in the community. So it's just important we keep on top of it. Just remember with your stories to always, if we're doing something that is airing anti-vax views, make sure we're also dismissing them in the story. Is that the right way to put it? Dismissing them. Make sure your stories are rubbishing their ridiculous claims, because it's really important that we keep doing that and we keep getting vaccinated so we can all get back to living normal lives. And it's great that you guys are all doing your bit by getting vaccinated. That's fantastic. So we'll keep going with that. Obviously, it's going to be another big weekend of COVID and stuff. And we sort of mentioned this in conference too. And don't be afraid to do, especially over the weekend, like just some of the good video content that we find here and viral content over some of the other stories that perhaps on other websites that are boring.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what he just said? What he really just did? Folks, this is an historic moment. You just listened to proof that this man is leveraging his position at the Daily Mail, Australia's largest publication with a major global influence in 40 countries. He just leveraged his position with that company over all of his employees. He told them specifically to lie. Do not bring him truthful stories surrounding the vaccines, the pandemic, the dangers of these inoculations, masking, freedom, liberty, any of it. Do not bring that to him. This is an historic moment. This is absolute proof that the world is being manipulated by tyrants like him, who have bought and paid for the influence of media outlets like his, turned them all into propaganda machines and weaponized them against global citizens. There should be under no circumstances any reason whatsoever for you to trust a single word that the Daily Mail ever prints again, that the so-called media ever reports again. Any headlines that you see on the bottom of the screen or on the ticker of your major broadcast networks, cable news outlets, any of these major print publications, anything that perpetuates a fear agenda, remember, we are talking about a virus with a recovery rate of nearly 100%. Congressman Louis Gohmert coming up next. Unbelievable. These are the snakes that we would love to step on. And now you can go to steponsocks.com. Wish I would have thought of this idea. I'm convinced these things will be enshrined in glass, propped up at the Smithsonian or some world-renowned museum around the world someday, because all of the globalists, all of the tyrants like Barclay there, their names are written right on the bottom. You can step on these snakes all day long. Clinton, Obama, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, Biden, all of their names written right on the bottom. All of the tyrants that we will defeat. And you can step on them all day long. A real sense of satisfaction. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Get yourself one of the classic legacy versions. Or get the Trader Joe. Just rolled out with the Trader Joe. The trust in God. You can step on sins all day long. Step on Socks is also diversified. They have silver for sale as well as Second Amendment flags. Go to steponsocks.com. Get a 3-pack of those wonderful socks. Or get 10 3-packs for just $17.76. We knew you'd love that number. Red, white, and blue. 100% Patriot designed. All cotton quality socks. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. I absolutely love my job because there's so many questions and we get to ask them, looking for answers, asking for accountability with so many questions around January 6th, in my opinion, that originated as a cover-up for November 3rd. Where is the GOP? Who exactly is fighting for justice? Joining us now is Congressman Louie Gohmert, an America First Republican representing the 1st Congressional District of Texas. Congressman, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Of course, Stu, anytime.
So there are around about 530 defendants being charged, reportedly being held in solitary confinement for being present at the Capitol on January 6th. It's long past time someone answer the question, why are mostly peaceful American protesters being treated worse than terrorists held at Gitmo?
Well, I've been to Gitmo multiple times, and I can assure you the bloodthirsty terrorists in Guantanamo are treated so much better than people on pretrial. And by the way, under our Constitution, the Supreme Court, all the courts have made very clear, you are not to ever punish someone that's being held in pretrial confinement. You can only punish after somebody has been convicted beyond a reasonable doubt. And it seems, Stu, that this is they're trying to send a message. In fact, one of the U.S. attorneys said back months ago that the goal was to teach a lesson to people, just don't come to Washington, D.C. And that lesson was supposed to be for conservatives. So they're working on that. But having been to the jail last week, I was shocked. It's actually part of the people in there are post-trial. They're in post-trial confinement being punished. And some of them, like there may be 50 to 100 that are in that facility that were arrested for January 6th incidents. But like you've mentioned, you know, some of them have minor charges. One just pled to a couple of counts of trespass last week. Normally on a trespass, people don't get held in jail around the country if that's what they're arrested for. And there was a prior plea to obstructing an official proceeding of Congress. And if we're going to apply that fairly across the board, back in 2016, interestingly, there were most of the Democratic Party members in the House. They obstructed an official proceeding of the Congress, and nobody got arrested. And they, unlike the 6 hours on January 6th, very serious, but on back in, I think it was June of 2016, the Democrats obstructed a proceeding of Congress for about 26 hours, and nobody even got arrested, much less went to jail. So, you know, there is a two-tier justice system, and the more we find out about January 6th, the more questions are raised. Our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to the family of the D.C., not Capitol Police, part of the D.C. Metropolitan Police that apparently took his own life. It's just tragic, no way around that. But there's a lot more to be investigated, a lot more to be learned. And Stu, I still am troubled having seen video of people coming into the Capitol on January 6th. And I know there was fighting and pushing and there were broken windows. But in one place, it appears the Capitol Police were just allowing people to come in, and one of the Capitol policemen can be heard saying, "I don't agree with this. I don't agree with this." So I'm going, "Don't agree with what?" What? There's more to this story, and I think you would find the answers in the 14,000 hours of video that the Capitol Police and Pelosi do not want anybody else to see.
Why can't we see it? Who shot Ashley Babbitt? Why can't we ask that? Why can't we know?
I don't understand that. As you well know, anytime a policeman shoots somebody, the policeman is known. It's just one of those things. It's a hazard of the trade. I don't understand why we don't know all the facts. It's ridiculous.
So you went to visit these political prisoners. That's what they are. A normal activity for members of Congress. You were kicked out of the jail. The public access doors were locked. Who locked the doors? What are they hiding?
Well, that's rather interesting. There is a main entrance, and that's where we went in, where family and lawyers come in. And we went in. I put congressional IDs in the little slot, you know, because they've got some very powerful bulletproof glass there, quite obviously. And so it's a very secure facility. And I said, "We're here. We have been writing letters, and we would like to have a tour to see the conditions. We're part of the Congress that has both oversight, and we vote on whether or not to allow this place to continue operating. So we just want to see the conditions." And we waited for a long, long time. And finally, a lady came out in a white uniform, some type of security or police with the facility, and said, "You are trespassing." And I said, "Where in the world did you get that? Here's my congressional ID. I'm a member of Congress, and we got four members of Congress here. We're authorized to be in places where we have oversight. I'm on the oversight committee for that for the Bureau of Prisons as part of the Judiciary Committee." And she said, "Well, my supervisor said you were trespassing." I said, "Well, get your supervisor to come on out, because we need to discuss this. I've been through facilities, whether they were jails, prisons, for over 20 years, going back, you know, when I was a judge, been to halfway houses, and I've never been stopped from going in and viewing what's there. And I normally prefer to just show up unannounced. But in this case, we've been notifying you by letters. We would want to see the conditions." And she said, "Well, my supervisor is coming." And then a lady eventually came through with a blue uniform with three stripes, meaning sergeant. But she didn't stop. She went right past the members of Congress, the lady in the white uniform, goes right outside. She's on the phone. And so I said, "So where's the supervisor?" Eventually, and he said, "Oh," one of the guys said, "Oh, that's her out there." "Really?" So we go out there, the four of us, and I want to talk to the supervisor. She's on the phone, and I said, "Hey," and she took off and went the opposite direction, and then I didn't see her. She circled back, as did the other lady. They went into the jail and locked the door of this huge facility so that the members of Congress could not come in. I couldn't believe it. It's like the Tom and Jerry show or something.
Everything is so weird. An empty Washington, D.C., you know, I mean, fencing, razor wire, barricades, weird dystopian feeling of just a vacated place, the people's house. I mean, it seems... all of it just so weird. Congressman,
It's getting us used to the idea of having dictatorial power over us, and whether it's ordering to wear masks when they're not helpful, whether it's having to go through the metal detectors that she's put just around the House chamber. Senate doesn't have them. Senate doesn't have to wear masks, but around the House chamber, even though the two highest-ranking law enforcement officers, Sergeant Arms and Chief of Capitol Police, said there's no information, intel from any source that any member of Congress is a threat to another member. So there's no need for the metal detectors right around the House floor. It's all getting us used to being dictated to by some all-powerful being, in this case, Nancy Pelosi. It is outrageous, though.
And you have a lawsuit against her that I want to talk about in just a minute. But I want to stay on this January 6th thing for just a second. Is January 6th a distraction from November 3rd?
I think the Democrats want to keep it as a distraction.
Do you think that there was Fed involvement in setting this up? Is anybody going to investigate that?
See, that's what I would like to have investigated, because there were so many strange things that went on. And I keep going back to the night before, talking to two Capitol policemen, and I think the world of Capitol Police, not the four people that testified. I identify more with the rank and file, the union guys. I don't know if you saw the letter from the head of the Capitol Police Union. They said, this really illustrates a problem we've been having, and it's not a matter of months. It goes back months and years of having problems with leadership in the Capitol Police. But the two Capitol policemen said, I said, you know, let's face it, these are conservatives that are going to be here tomorrow. They're not only not prone to violence, they clean up their mess. And they were going, yeah, but we just got a briefing that there are people that will be coming that intend to try to stir up violence, and they're going to wear Trump stuff and red and MAGA and try to blend in as if they're part of the Trump group, but they're coming to instigate violence. I was told that the night before. Why were they not ready for that? Those guys were the rank and file, but something happened and we're not allowed to find out what it is. And I can't help but wonder if the videotape that the 14,000 hours Pelosi doesn't want us to see, if that may answer most of our questions.
The president asked for military involvement.
Yeah.
That request was ignored.
No, it was turned down.
It was turned down. We have been told by Major General William Walker, who is now the Congressional Sergeant in Arms. Can you confirm that?
Well, that he is Sergeant at Arms?
No, that he's the person who turned down the request.
Well, that's what we were told. The members, the Republican members of the House were told that the offer was made for National Guard, and the Sergeant at Arms said no, that it would not look good.
And it appears that he's been rewarded by Nancy Pelosi as a result of that. Who are these cops that are committing suicide? Really? I mean, 7 months?
I don't know. It's deeply troubling. It just bothers me so much to find anybody comes to the point where taking their own life is what they feel they have to do. It's suspicious to me,
Congressman. I mean, one was suspicious, two is eye-popping. Now we have not one, two, three, but four Capitol Police officers or...
Well, actually, two of them were D.C. Metro Police.
Okay.
And frankly, there's a lot of times the Metro Police and the Capitol Police, they really don't get along very well. I've noticed that.
Do you find that alarming that there's four of them that have all of a sudden, months later? Is anybody investigating that?
I don't know. I can guarantee you this commission that Pelosi set up is not going to get to the bottom of any of those matters. I did appreciate the tweet after Fanon testified that said, having heard Fanon testify now as a Capitol policeman, I now understand why Meemaw and the guy that thinks he's a buffalo were able to get past their defenses. Because you're going, who are these people? But I really appreciated the letter from the head of the police, this Capitol Police Union, saying those testimonies do not speak for the rank and file Capitol Police. And in fact, they indicate it's quite a problem. And in fact, I was talking to another one just last Friday, And he was saying, I was talking about the union and those guys that testified. And he said, yeah, it really points out the problem. And it's a problem within the Capitol Police. They think anybody that's been out here working and understands all of what's going on out here should never be promoted to top leadership. They say, oh, you are too important out there where you are. We're going to keep moving up people that have never left their desks. So it's interesting hearing that take from some Capitol Police, but they do have a very serious leadership problem. The rank and file Capitol Police, I just admire so much, but and they got a problem with leadership.
Well, I can tell you firsthand that that is synonymous with many departments around the country, that the rank and file, these cops are there for the right reason. They're responding to a calling to be in that profession. And then the politicization, the weaponization of their command staffs is absolutely unbelievable. So just to tie up this January 6th deal, in 2022, given a Republican-controlled Congress, will the Freedom Caucus investigate this thing the way that it should be investigated, demand that the DOJ actually acts as a weapon against criminals rather than law-abiding citizens, and demand answers around all of this?
Yes, we've got to, and we may not wait till 2022. And let me point out a letter I got Friday from one of the inmates. He was saying, you know, just to talk to their lawyer, they make it so difficult. And even, and when they do get to talk to them, normally they say all you can do is on, you know, through a Skype meeting, something like that. And there are guards and other people that get to hear everything the lawyer is saying. Well, that's no way for somebody to meet with their lawyer. And they say, if they say, I need a private meeting with my attorney so we can have a private conversation, then they punish them by declaring that they now must go into 3 days of quarantine, meaning 3 days of complete solitary confinement. That's not too much worse than what they're going through. They say, you know, they get 1 hour a day where they get out of their cells. But unlike the guys that have already been convicted who don't wear chains, they wear chains on their hands, chains on their legs, and chained to a chain around their waist. These are pretrial confinement people. Most of them have no criminal history, and they're being treated like that. And then they go into, it's really chilling their rights when to see their lawyer, they have to go into solitary confinement for 3 days without getting any daylight.
It's disgraceful. It absolutely makes it my blood boil to believe, to realize, not to believe, to know for a fact that this is happening in the United States of America, of all places. Yep. I mean, I never thought that we would be living in these times. It's extraordinary. I don't have an
idea. Well, and we've got a report from some inmates, you know, that some guards are telling other inmates, these are the worst of the worst extreme Trump racists that hate Black Americans. And just to try to make their lives miserable and stir up trouble and violence within the inmates. It's really outrageous what's going on.
Who are these people? I mean, anybody else would be fired immediately for inciting that, especially as a person who's charged with the responsibility of maintaining order inside of a lockup facility. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you think if this were Democrats that were being incarcerated like this, that Pelosi and others would put up with it for a moment? They absolutely would not.
So we've been watching Arizona really closely. You support the audits in Arizona, do you not?
And absolutely.
We have to get 2020 critical. Right. You agree we have to get that right.
Critical. Absolutely critical.
Should there be an audit in your state, in Texas? Should there be an audit in every state?
I think there should be in many states, and I do think there should be one in Texas. And it was one of the things I was concerned about. There was proof that I saw of fraud in the 2018 primary and general election, and nothing was done about it because it was in cities where they have Democrat elected DAs. They weren't going to touch it. And for some reason, our attorney general didn't really go after that. He went after a bunch of small cases, but none on the big fraud. And I still think we have got to get to the bottom of that fraud, not just in Arizona, but in Texas. And I know President Trump likes to say, you know, they said it was going to be close in Texas and blew it out. Well, he did, but there were efforts still to come. He won so big and so fast in Texas. The big cities are not going to allow that to happen again. You're going to see more of what happened in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and others, where there was a slowdown or even temporary pause in counting so that they could start doing their harvesting. And that stuff has got to be investigated. But as you know, the Democrats have proposed, they call it a voting rights bill. I would call it a voter fraud rights bill. They have the right to have voter fraud. They have the right not to have any IDs to check so they can fraudulently vote, all while they're putting a chill on conservatives' rights as we speak.
Wow. The down ballot is so important, which is why I'm a supporter of a forensic audit in every state, specifically the ones where they use these machines, presumably hooked up to the internet.
Idea.
You know, stealing the presidency is one thing, but if he's a president who doesn't have down ballot support because everybody was legitimately elected, was a conservative, an America First conservative, a MAGA conservative, a Trump conservative, he would be powerless. The fact is the down ballot was equally as important. And that was, that's my reasoning for every state. So you filed a lawsuit against Nancy Pelosi. What is this? What is that all about?
Well, it was, Andrew Clyde and I filed because we had both been fined regarding, you know, their allegation we didn't properly go through the metal detector. Well, Democrats have done that many times. We've got witnesses to what happened. And there have been a number of people that have missed votes because they're out at the metal detector going through, taking stuff out of their pockets, being wanded. And they get in. I saw Jeff Duncan. He got in and put his card in, and they cut the vote off just as he was bringing his finger down to hit the button to vote. So it is costing votes. And you got to understand, votes start at a certain time, and normally they're 15-minute votes, sometimes 5-minute votes. They normally leave them open, but it is completely up to the discretion of the speaker as to when to bring the gavel down. So there are just so many things wrong with what they're doing, and we sued over it. She doesn't have the right when there is no reason to have metal detectors. Never in the history of the Capitol have any members of Congress been searched before they were allowed to go in. And now she's taken it another step. Before anybody can come to your office in Washington, you have to first declare who's coming, who wants to come, and what they want to come talk to you about. Well, that's protected by speech and debate. They go through the metal detectors, so that shouldn't be an issue. But they want to know what they're coming to talk about as well. That's none of her business. That's how we hear from whistleblowers, and she wants to know who's coming so they can figure out who the whistleblowers are. It has become a dictatorship. It is moving us ever toward Orwellian-style government, and it needs to stop.
I don't even know what to say about that. And then these mask mandates from the speaker as well. Where's Kevin McCarthy? Where's the minority leader in all of this?
Well, you know, Kevin is not happy about all the changes. And it's hard to say.
What about people like Kinzinger, people like Cheney? Is the minority leader going to move to have them removed from the conference?
That's what has been sought, but it doesn't look like that's something that the minority leader wants to do.
Interesting. We'll look into that. We've sent him several emails. We have not had a response yet. Congressman Louie Gohmert, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here. And stay in the fight. I mean, you're one of the few, a handful, putting America first. We thank you for that.
Stu, everything's on the line. Of course, we'll be in the fight. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.
Thank you.
If you want to support the congressman, his reelection campaign, visit gohmert.com, G-O-H-M-E-R-T.com. Support is huge. We're going to find out just exactly how supporting one another can make each other victorious. A story coming out of Alberta, Canada, that is absolutely going to blow your mind. Freedom reigns in Alberta. We're going to go to the guy who defeated the system, removing the mandates, all of the masking, the forced inoculations. This thing is going to be treated like the run-of-the-mill flu, exactly how it should be treated in Alberta. We'll talk to the guy that spawned all of that. Plus, I'm getting a lot of emails from people, Stu. It's being mandated at work. What do I do? I'm going to get fired. We are going to bring in an attorney, a legal advice person to tell you exactly what you can do. That's coming up. Ali Schultz will be here on the program. I want to remind you that support goes a long way with people who have boots on the ground. Boots on the ground people. You might not have the time. You're raising a family. You got to get to soccer. You got to get to hockey practice. You're putting food on the table. You're working a full-time job. You're involved in hobbies and activities. You're doing advocating on your own, but you just can't physically go travel around, put your boots on the ground and confront these tyrannical school boards. You can't confront these city councils. You can't check out what's going on with child sex trafficking at the border, holding people accountable face to face. But one guy can, that's Christopher Key. You remember he got fired. He was on this program. He got fired from his job for speaking out against a school board. He ultimately was successful in getting the mandates lifted completely. They're gone. No more masking is required. No more proof of inoculation for kids to return to in-school learning. He got fired, and now his full-time job is exactly what I said. Boots on the ground. You can support him and his efforts by going to vaccine-police.com. Vaccine-police.com. Christopher Key holding people accountable, boots on the ground. He is policing Big Pharma, policing these school boards, policing elected representatives, policing politicians, policing the media. You can help to support him and his efforts if you should feel so inclined. Go to vaccine-police.com right now. Again, vaccine-police.com. I am a supporter of his. If you can find it inside of yourself to be a supporter, please do. Go to vaccine-police.com. Well, we are happy to break news out of Canada that the Daily Mail will not touch. None of the mainstream media is going to touch this. These propagandists are going to hide this from you because this is encouraging to freedom fighters, patriots who want to take matters into their own hands and stand up against this tyrannical, overreaching system of mandates that forces you to muzzle yourself with an ineffective face diaper, socially distance away from your family, stop giving hugs, not visiting grandma, masking up your kids in school for 10 hours a day, possibly while you're exercising. It's all ridiculous. But breaking out of Alberta today, mandatory masking is coming to an end. Kids will not be masking when they return to school. Mandatory quarantine will be ending. Contact tracing, testing for mild symptoms, it's all done. They will now be recognizing COVID as a mild flu and treating it as such. Freedom has won in Alberta, proving that fighting does work. Joining us now is Patrick King, a devoted father of two, a proud Canadian. You were fined $1,200 for violating the COVID-19 Public Health Act for being in a group larger than 10, which I'm assuming is what lit the fire inside of you. And it appears that you, sir, were a part of the efforts that we can now celebrate today. Tell us about it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on, Stu. Yeah, on December 5th, we held a rally. So in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, we have been known as the only city in Canada to hold the longest rally against all these government mandates that they've been putting in with regards to even our industries. I started back about 4 years ago. I'm an oil and gas worker, have been for over 17 years. I also hold a degree in occupational health and safety and environment. And when they started to attack our industry out here, I started getting a little bit more vocal. So we've held rallies on our streets with regards to oil and gas and this government that we have for over 3.5 years. And on December 5th, we are celebrating our 200th week of being on the corner on a Saturday morning protesting. And on that particular day, COVID mandates were implemented and they were going on for the last little while. And I was obviously targeted because of my voice. And I know this, and it's in the transcripts in the court. I was targeted and I received a ticket of $1,200. So I waited for my time in court. I ended up getting it on May the 4th, finally, and I went into court and I produced some information that I needed to request in order to put up a good, plausible defense. And my material that I requested was the isolation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And I wanted it isolated and not in a lab setting or in a PCR test, because we know the PCR tests, they're overspun. We know we're not stupid people. Right. We know, we research, we look.
Yes.
So in doing that, they kind of shut me out of the court. I was supposed to be in court on May the 18th. All of a sudden I get, once I deliver all of this, and I get told as a self-representative, I can, the judge has to advocate for me and steer me in the right direction. At which time she allowed me to subpoena Dina Hinshaw, who is our chief medical officer of health for Alberta, who basically what my defense was to be was I needed proof that you have isolated the SARS-CoV-2 virus and that therefore the science would give you the backing for your public health act.
Which in plain and simple terms means prove to me that a pandemic exists. Prove to me that we're all going to die. Prove to me that this thing is raging out of control and that people are dying from this thing.
100%. And if they did that, then I would be no problem. I would say, okay, you're right. You've got this. I'll put this mask on. Well, as soon as I subpoenaed her, I got an officer shows up at my door 3 days later. He says, Mr. King, I need your address. I said, oh, you mean the address you're at right now? Yeah, that address? Yeah, well, I need your email address. And I said, well, the same email address that's on all my correspondence with you guys and all this stuff? You already have it. Well, I need your telephone number. I said, you mean the telephone number that you call me on all the time? And he's kind of looking dumb. And he says, well, I'm just here to tell you that your court case has been canceled. I was like, this can't happen. You can't cancel my court case. And he kind of snickered. Well, I ended up calling the courthouse, got it rescheduled. And upon the rescheduling, I got it in. And next thing I know, I'm being subpoenaed by Dina Hinshaw's lawyers now on a Sunday morning at 11:53 in the morning. I timestamped process server serving me this. In less than 24 hours, I had to be in behind closed chambers with Dina Hinshaw's lawyers and the judges. And I'm like, okay, well, this is odd. This is what's called a procedural violation. You cannot service somebody a subpoena less than 24 hours before court. And I knew they were up to something dirty. When I got the subpoena, we went into court. I get into court the next day. I call procedural violation 100%. They said, yes, it's a procedural violation. I said, okay, Your Honor, well, let's adjourn it to Wednesday. And this would have been July 24th. And I would have been in court. And she says, no, we can't. I said, Your Honor, this is a procedural violation. And well, when that happened, Dina Hinshaw's lawyer spoke up and she said, well, Your Honor, Mr. King is requesting evidence that we cannot give. And I was kind of like, what? And I sent you a screenshot of it. And in the screenshot, it says the chief medical officer of health has no material evidence to provide Mr. King for his defense. Which basically means everything that I requested in Schedule A, which is the isolation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, that needs to be 100% isolated in order to base your scientific facts on these public health acts. You don't have material evidence for this. And they said no. And I had to reiterate again to the lawyer or to the judge. I said, Your Honor, just for the record, I want it to be on the record, duly noted, that the Chief Medical Officer Health of Alberta does not have material evidence I request. She says, yes, Mr. King, they did say that. Perfect. I lose the subpoena on Dina Hinshaw. That's okay. Because what had happened is a procedural violation. Now, what they've done is the court system actually bamboozled me and sent me in the wrong direction, which is a violation of my rights as a Canadian citizen. I go in on the 24th, and I couldn't believe it. There are attorney general prosecutors from Ottawa in the courtroom. And now my statement says, no longer does it say Dina Hinshaw versus Patrick King. It states the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen versus Patrick King. So now, where's my accuser? If the Queen is my accuser, I get to address my accuser. Well, lo and behold, they find out that everything I did is absolutely phenomenal. They can't believe it. I'll still remember the look on the faces. So I reiterate it again. The Chief Medical Officer of Health of Alberta, Ms. Dina Hinshaw, and AHS and the Alberta Provincial Government do not have the material evidence I request for the isolation of SARS-CoV-2. And when the judge said that, these two stenographers, or a stenographer and a clerk, just went like this.
Yeah.
And their jaws dropped to the floor.
Yeah, they must have looked at the judge like, "What? Are we supposed to type this?
Yeah.
Do you really want this on the record?" I mean, this is amazing stuff, and it's so simple when you think about it. This is so simple. You have essentially taught the world exactly what they need to do to liberate themselves. I mean,
that's right.
But the problem lies, and of course, we're going to have to battle uphill because we have a compromised judiciary, a corrupt judiciary. You have to get before a judge that's actually going to rule impartially.
Yep.
But okay, well, the problem with this, the rest of this, because you got to finish your story. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what happens now is, and in my closing remarks, I told the judge, I said to your honor, I said, thank you very much. And I looked at the Crown Prosecutor and I said, thank you very much. And to the attorney generals that decided to come in the room for a $1,200 ticket, I got Ottawa listening now. Thank you to each and every one of you because you taught me everything I need to know to be the loudest, proactive advocate for everybody across Canada, let alone North America and the world. Because now we know exactly what you guys are doing to us. We have it on record. We have the proof. And you know what? I get these transcripts this afternoon. I wish I would have had them before you called me this morning because then I would have shown, been able to provide it to you. And hopefully maybe we can do a sequel to this when I have it all. But in the transcripts, I stated, and I know they're shaking in their boots. So when I said, I'm going to start teaching people exactly what they need to do because we were that close. They got me on a what's called a jurisdictional challenge, which the judge advocated for me to subpoena Dina Hinshaw because she has to. But what she didn't do was tell me the appropriate direction to go to. So I used a justice of the peace who signed the subpoena. Well, it's a judge who needs to sign the subpoena, not a justice of the peace. So they got me on the jurisdictional challenge, but they also violated my rights in doing so. So now there's a process that we're going to go through, and hopefully I can't divulge too much more. But now what I can do is with all these transcripts to everybody else, and they made a point in my court case, the Rook versus Alberta case, where they've summoned everybody that who had violated any of these COVID rules. They're waiting on the determination of thousands and thousands of tickets and summonses, and the results of those will come. Well, what we did was we laid the foundation for everybody's court case now. So everybody's court case will go exactly the way I am. And what they need to do, and everybody needs to do, is you need to challenge the Public Health Act in your provinces, in your states, in your wherever you are. You file a challenge against these health acts, and that way the judge has no recourse. She has to subpoena the government officials that are responsible for this. So now we're going to get them all on the stand.
I mean, I don't think and that people, I just want to make sure that everybody understands the magnitude of this. This isn't about a $1,200 fine or a ticket. This isn't about 1,000 of them. This is about ending COVID. Seriously, the narrative is dead. The virus has never been isolated. It doesn't exist. You can't prove its existence. Therefore, you cannot force me to do anything in the name of something that is non-existent.
That's right. And in the transcripts,
no vaccine, no vaccine, no vaccine, and no vaccine, because it's not a vaccine anyways. No mask, no social distance. No limiting in the gathering sizes. My kids should be able to return to school. Everybody is hugging again. My small business can reopen now. All of these things. That is the magnitude of this.
It's so empowering to know that we got it on the record, because what they said right after was the science doesn't matter. And in the top of the Alberta Public Health Act, it says, I, Dina Hinshaw, formulate this Public Health Act under the COVID-19 pandemic. That means you would have had to have the proof and the science in order to write that Public Health Act for the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, now, I'm sorry, you messed up. You wrote and said on the record in the court of law that you don't have the material evidence. And when I said that, they said, well, the science doesn't matter. I said, oh, no, the science has to matter. This isn't about your public opinion. This isn't about your personal preference. That's right. I don't care who's pulling your strings and telling you you have to do this. But you know when they put their name, I, Dina Hinshaw, that was a setup. Because when this goes down, she's going to get the bus. And that's why they do this. Because they knew this whole time that this was never isolated. They know what they're doing. They know what the part of this scheme is. And I don't know the background of your show, how far I can go into this, but it all comes down to the result of this one world organization that wants to make sure that they have power over everybody across the globe.
Complete.
So they're forcefully attempting to bankrupt our country under the guise of a false pandemic.
That's right.
And everybody's just following along like a sheep. You have no understanding, like to the viewers, the implications of this and the repercussions of what are going to happen from this are absolutely devastating. The world you know it right now will not exist. And that is what they're attempting to do. We are attempting to stop this under professional literature and professional presentations. When we do this, I'm just an average Joe, but I do know enough that I know there's something wrong. And if I don't do something, who am I? What does that make me? Just stand back and let it happen.
Especially being a father of two kids that you would lay down on railroad tracks without even thinking.
There's something else to that too.
Yeah.
My oldest son, who's 17 years old, got the vax. He's double vaxxed. And it killed me. And I tried to fight him on it. And I tried to just wait. I got them in court. Now, if my son goes down, you ain't going to see me in court of law. You're going to see me on the streets with every other parent, with every other loved one, with every other person out there. And we're going to start to make this shake. We're going to shake the house because they are about to take all our families away. They've already taken our livelihoods. They've already taken our rights away. They're trying to censor everything that we say. Believe it or not, Stu, I would have to say I'm one of, if not the most censored Canadian out there right now. I cannot have Facebook. I cannot even use Google. They are not giving me any ways or any means to get my information out to people. They're blocking me in every single way. And when they start doing that, you know you're onto them. You know you're doing you're doing the right thing. So with my son being vaxxed, I get it. He's got an opportunity to go to Tokyo for university, to Aerospace Engineering University. He's a smart kid. So I get why he did it. But there are millions of kids out there. There are millions of adults out there that are under the same guise that they needed to get this because it was, you know, in order to travel. That is absolute false. And everything that they're trying to put in, look at Australia. There's police officers attacking people on the streets and sticking needles in their arms.
Yeah.
There's military presence going to communities. I highly recommend that everybody out there start following what's going on because it's in every country this is going to start to happen. And it's the end game. And unfortunately, we're a little bit behind the eight ball right now, but we're still moving in the right direction. And I know what we're doing is about to blow up. Now you've got Alberta saying no mask mandates. Now you've got them retracting everything they said. Kids are going to school with no masks on, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. They pulled the pin, but we've already said it. And we will get them, and then they will make it look like it's their idea.
I got to leave it right there. I'm running up against a hard break. But Patrick King, man, absolutely incredible stuff. When you get those documents that you want released together, we are not the mainstream media, but our audience is much bigger than theirs. They hate that,
by the
way. Ranked number 3, by the way, in America, this little Stu Peters show that the mainstream media loves to hate. We will post all of those documents at stupeters.tv. Fighting back is what it's all about. You have done that. And speaking of which, here in the United States, I have received so many countless emails. Hey, my job is going to make me get this thing. They're threatening to fire me, all of this stuff. Guess what? That is not legal for them to do. America's Frontline Doctors Legal Director is up next on the Stu Peters Show. Go nowhere. Ellie Schultz is standing by. She's a lawyer and she is a humanitarian advocate. She's fighting against this tyranny and she is going to be here with some advice. She's going to be here with some statements to hopefully put you at ease because I'm telling you, there are a lot of very fearful people, students returning to in-person learning, going to universities, being banned or barred from sports, being told that they have to get these inoculations. People are being fired from their jobs, getting letters that are requiring people to go get this stuff with their jobs being threatened. We have to address all of this. As I said, my email box is just completely inundated. We are number 3 in the country, in the podcast spectrum over at Apple. Ranked number 3, we etched out Louder with Crowder. We're knocking on Bannon's door right now, and I'm telling you, it's all because of your support. If you want to support the show financially, you can do that. Don't send us just an arbitrary number. Don't just send us a donation and get nothing in return. Get something great in return while supporting the program. Go to stupeters.shop right now. T-shirts are available. Be a banner for the show. Be a banner for truth. Go to stupeters.shop right now. Again, stupeters.shop. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. Ellie Schultz coming up right now. My Proton Mail is full of emails from healthcare workers, people working for big corporations, big box chains that are mandating this vaccine. They're giving deadlines. If you're not mandated by this time or that time, you're going to lose your job. Is that legal? Stu, what do we do? Well, we're going to talk to Ellie Schultz about that. She's an attorney and a humanitarian fighting against tyranny, and she's here to help. Ellie, thank you so much for being here. So what do these people do?
Stu, thank you so much for having me. So the fact is, these experimental biological agents are not scheduled to be approved by the FDA until they've completed all the requisite testing, which is supposed to be in 2023. They're thinking that they're going to rush the full licensure of this. And with that status of like fully licensed approval, they think that they'll have better legal authority to try to mandate this on people. So that's why they're giving these suggested mandates at a date, you know, not too far out, but definitely not today.
Right.
Because they think that there's going to be a full licensure. And so I guess the advice I would give for now is, as of today, this vaccine is not approved by the FDA. So because it's not approved by the FDA and it's still considered experimental, informed consent is required and the right to refuse. So don't give in, hold the line. It's not fully licensed right now. A lot can change between now and a couple months. Don't give in. If you absolutely want to step up and help preserve our God-given inalienable rights, you can assert a religious exemption, which a lot of people are having great success doing. Because in order to assert a religious exemption, all you need is a sincerely held religious belief. You don't need a pastor to sign off that you have a relationship with God. You don't need to go into the science behind fetal cells or anything like that. All that matters is that you have a sincerely held religious belief, and that is protected not only by federal law and anti-discrimination laws under Title IV and Title VII, but also protected by the Constitution under the First Amendment.
So hold the line, just refuse, just resist, just say no. Unified noncompliance, do not give in. These letters, these emails, these flyers and pamphlets that are going out to all of these millions of people, they hold no water. They hold no weight. They are not legally binding documents. You cannot be fired today for this, not legally anyhow. And you will have recourse if you are fired before this thing comes to full approval. Is that correct in lay terms that is all, everything I stated is accurate as far as your interpretation?
100% correct. Yes. And this is Nuremberg Code stuff. We actually have a criminal complaint that we are just finalizing. It's on vaxchoice.com that is going to be for the individuals to file their own criminal complaint. And we're happy to add hospital administrators that are implementing this at their hospitals or local health authorities, because all of these people are complicit in this conspiracy of this mass genocide of the American people.
There it is. Little shoddy on the internet connection between us. I don't know what's going on, but 100% of the message got out there. And that's what matters here. We are the platform of truth. Ali Schultz, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. Coming up next on the Stu Peters Show, we will check in with Carlos Cortez, who says this market is just going to continue to skyrocket, go up, 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 and up. Why? Coming back in 60 seconds. Go nowhere. 50% off right now, site-wide at AmericaFirstOil.com. AmericaFirstOil.com, 50% off site-wide using the promo code VET50. Your CBD is now 50% off. If you don't use Verve Forever, a veteran-owned company, trash those people. Why would you do business with a company that's not veteran-owned? Tim Kalund, a veteran of the United States Air Force, he hosts charity events that benefit veterans directly multiple times a year. Plus, all of the products from Verve Forever at AmericaFirstOil.com are sourced right here in the United States. Colorado, to be specific. I get selfies all the time, unsolicited, of course. He's a good-looking guy, but Tim, enough with the selfies. Support veterans. Make sure that your CBD is sourced in America. I mean, who are you doing your CBD business with, a non-veteran-owned company? Where does it come from? You don't know. Does it come from China? Who knows? What's in that stuff? Lipid nanoparticles and graphene oxide? It seems to be in everything else these days. Well, you know that that's not in the CBD that you find at Verve Forever at AmericaFirstOil.com. Go to AmericaFirstOil.com. Get 50% off right now using the promo code VET50. If you're not using CBD, but you have joint pain, muscle pain, ligament pain, migraine, headaches, allergies, stress, anxiety, possibly help with PTSD, ADHD, Parkinson's disease, go do the research for yourself at AmericaFirstOil.com. I promise you it will positively impact your life. 50% 20% off site-wide. What a deal. What a deal on all the products, skincare, bubble bath, bath salt, pain creams, oils, all of it. All of it. 50% off right now at AmericaFirstOil.com using the promo code VET50. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to AmericaFirstOil.com. So we talked to the congressman. We briefly touched on it. I have super, super agonizing suspicions surrounding the death of four cops, the sudden suicide committed by two D.C. Metro cops, two Capitol Police officers. We're talking 7 months after this event. All of a sudden now that the January 6th commission has been organized by Nancy Pelosi, the dictatorial witch, all of a sudden now these cops are just offing themselves? It seems a little weird, and I think Deanna Lorraine feels the same way. She has looked into it, or at least I've asked her to. She joins us for Shots Fired every single weekday. And by the way, wrote a best-selling book. You should go get it. It's at DeannaLorraine.com. It's called Taking Back America, which is exactly what we need to do, and we need to do it now. What did you find out about these cops?
Well, first of all, Stu, so this morning it was just announced that a fourth Capitol Police officer has committed suicide.
Not one. Okay, that was. One would be suspicious given the times that we're in. Not two, right, which would be eye-popping. Not three, which would be completely alarming. But four. And I don't even know what to call that.
Well, yeah. So, and this was just hours after a third Capitol Police officer was announced to have committed suicide. Okay, so two in 1 week. And then we had the two in the week following the January 6th protest. Okay, so what's going on? Obviously, one is weird. Two is very weird. Yeah. Three, anything more than three is really statistically impossible. Something very weird is happening here. And I think that we can safely assume that these are not suicides. I mean, come on, we're not stupid. We've seen this time and time again. And also, Stu, what does every major false flag event have in common? Suicides right after, right? Suicides of the survivors, of any of the police officers. There always seems, and of course, the perpetrator, they always seem to commit suicide afterwards. And I'm not saying that all of these suicides were fake or arc-incited, but it's very peculiar. And I don't believe in coincidences after a certain number of them, right?
I want to make sure that everybody understands, and I'm speaking for myself, but I'm comfortable in saying that I would believe that Deanna Lorraine feels the same way. We are not in any way taking away from the tragedy of the loss of these officers, the grief that their families must be feeling. We're not trying to politicize, you know, a catastrophe or anything like that. But this, and I believe that their families will want to know as well, what prompted these sudden deaths? It's very suspicious. We want to know the answers to that. And I think that this echoes the sentiment of millions of Americans who are looking at this going, you know, scratching their heads thinking, what in the WTF is going on here?
Right. And you echo my sentiments exactly. We're not trying to discount the tragedy of these deaths, but we have a right to know. And I think the families would want to know what exactly happened, because these were perfectly healthy police officers. And I don't know, how does four police officers with wives and families and paychecks who have been in the line of duty for years, sometimes some of them decades, why would they suddenly want to commit suicide and leave all of that behind? Why would they leave their families behind? It is odd. And it's odd for one person, but again, four within 6 months and two each time within a week of each other is beyond comprehension. It's worth looking into. And I believe that we can say something else is going amiss here. Something else is going on here. And even Officer Sicknick, who supposedly died of a sudden stroke, who again was formerly very healthy, he suddenly died from a stroke, or they even said natural causes, and yet his body was cremated within hours of being discovered dead.
But so, now, I got to push back on that just a little bit, because I did tune in to CNN, and Chris Cuomo told me that Officer Sicknick died after being bludgeoned repeatedly over the head by fire extinguisher wielding violent insurrectionist, racist, white supremacist Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course. Yeah, that's the real trigger there. That's
I wonder, really by the happened. Way, speaking of Chris Cuomo, if he'll be reporting tonight on the investigation into his brother, the governor, now breaking today at redvoicemedia.com, an investigation opened up into the sex assaults, the alleged sex assaults of the disgraced governor in New York.
I highly doubt that they're going to be talking about
you don't
that,
think
but
so.
I'll definitely be in tune to CNN
for
sure.
Yeah, let's tune in. Okay.
Yeah, I'm at the edge of my seat with that one.
Yeah, get the popcorn ready.
Right. So be that as it may. So these police officers, right? This is all the more reason to release the damn footage, right? If this really happened and these police officers were so damn traumatized and had PTSD from this insane protest that was there, why wouldn't they release the footage? How do we even know those police officers, especially the ones that testified last week, AKA the actors trying to vie for Academy Awards, you know, to most dramatic Academy Award. Why don't we get to see them in action there? Why don't we get to see Harry Dunn being called the N-word over and over again? Why don't we get to see Officer Fanoni being electrocuted by Trump supporters over and over again and bludgeoned with poles, etc.? Why don't we get to see the traumatic events that occurred? Why don't we get to see their faces in the videos, etc.? I don't know, maybe because it didn't actually happen. Maybe something a lot more sinister is happening, that obviously Nancy Pelosi and the deep state, they scripted this, this was orchestrated, and the people that they can buy and pay out to act and cry on command and tell everybody how racist this event was, what an insurrection was, they get to live. But yet the ones that maybe have something more to share, maybe the ones that really know the full scoop of this and potentially were about to come forward with evidence that debunks this entire hoax, maybe they are the ones that were off.
And don't
maybe
give they me are this, the ones that don't well, it's survive. Just too graphic to show on television. The masses would just be committing suicide knowing that, you know, Patriots right. acted like this. It's just too much. It's just too traumatic. Well, you showed the Challenger space shuttle exploding on national television. I'll never forget it. I was in Mr. Eichhorn's class. I was in third right. grade. I know what desk I was sitting at. I'll never forget watching that thing happen live on television. I mean, you took us through the entire OJ trial. We see body cam footage released every single day. If there's an officer-involved shooting in Baltimore today, you can expect that within hours, that department will be releasing. It's unprecedented times that we're living in, really extraordinary. Mm-hmm. But they will publish this stuff to YouTube and all over the place, release this body cam footage before an investigation has even been completed, showing what happened to try to mitigate any response to that. So why not release the footage to mitigate the response of Patriots or just suppress our satisfy our suspicions once and for all? Why not? Why exactly. fight the narrative of an audit or a forensic audit in every state? If 81 million people voted for the most prolific president in world history, then why would you be objecting to audits at all in the first place? How is that suppressing our constitutional republic, some form of democracy, if you will, the free vote? You know, I mean, why are they hiding? Why can't we know who shot Ashley Babbitt? Why can't we ask who shot Ashley Babbitt?
Well, people who have nothing to hide, hide nothing. Right. So obviously there is something to hide. This is why they're hiding it, so they can control the narrative. And, you know, it's reminiscent of all of those police officers that watched the footage of Hillary Clinton and Anthony Weiner's laptop. All six of them committed suicide afterwards. All six of them. What about the Navy SEALs that killed Osama bin Laden? All of them, you know, dead afterwards. I mean, let's be real here. This is, at what point do coincidences become mathematically impossible? At what point do we see this is the same deep state playbook that happens all the time, every single one of these events that is orchestrated by them? It happens in the same way. Witnesses and victims and survivors suddenly drop dead. And they can't come forward with any damning evidence. And then the whole thing gets pushed under the rug and the deep state gets to coordinate their narrative however they see fit.
Well, we don't have any information.
Stu, when you look at the deaths, right, you know, look at these articles, you can't find anything about it, any details. The only detail was Officer Jeffrey Smith, who left his family that morning, drove to work, and then supposedly shot himself in the head while driving on the way to work. Very strange events. The other ones that supposedly committed suicide, there are no details. They were just found dead in their home by their family or by their wife. And isn't it odd that the family members aren't coming forward? Why aren't we seeing images or videos of grieving wives or family members or anything? None of that. No details. It's just this person committed suicide and that's it. And then they try to shove it under the rug.
And I'll remind you, it took a while for Ashley Babbitt's lover, husband, to come forward as well, which is, to me, it still remains suspicious. I'm sorry. But in times like this, I'm somewhat skeptical and a little bit of a cynic. You'll have to forgive me. Deanna Lorraine, thank you so much for looking into all of that. And I'm sure that you'll stay all over this. You'll keep us updated.
I'm sure
Right Wing Watch will have more to write about you. The USA Today will jump all over you. Deanna Lorraine says that these four officers were in the condo with McAfee when it went down. absolutely ridiculous.
You said it, not me.
Get her book, Taking Back America. You can find it at DeannaLorraine.com. More with Carlos Cortez as the Stu Peters Show continues in just 60 seconds. After, of course, we take 60 seconds to remind you of the way to keep a strong immune system to build up to supplement the natural IGF-1 that's found in your body. What is IGF-1? It's the stuff that rejuvenates you. It heals you. It protects that immune system. It promotes lean muscle gain. It promotes healthy weight loss. There are sleep aids available. KeysToLife.shop. Keys, the number two, life.shop. They're a sponsor of the program, but I am a customer of Keys to Life. KeysToLife.shop. IGF-1, this stuff, I'm telling you, it is all natural. It's naturally found in your body, but as we age, the production levels of this IGF-1 start to decrease. It's why you supplement it just like you supplement anything else. It's the reason you take a multivitamin. You drink Ensure. You do all sorts of different things to help supplement your body that is not producing the things that it used to at the rate of production that it used to produce them. Go to keystolife.shop right now. Do your own research. Don't just take my word for it, but do take my word that I use the product, that I'm satisfied with the product, that I feel rejuvenated every day. I'm thinking more clearly. I'm full of energy and I'm gaining tons of lean muscle. Can't you tell? Go to keys2life.shop right now. keys2life.shop. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you get your buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one free. When you put in any product on auto ship, buy one, get one free at keys2life.shop. Go there right now. Even the globalist-funded, corrupt, criminal, radical, liberal Yahoo Finance doesn't understand why the market continues to trend up, and that's why we bring in our in-house financial expert, Carlos Cortez. He's an independent fiduciary at Cortez Wealth Management out of the Sunshine State of Florida, Cortez Wealth Management. Carlos, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Stu. Yeah, it's funny. I was listening to, you know, all the media outlets on finance, as I do every day when I wake up, and it was funny that they're pushing the jab, and saying that Texas is not even fully inoculated, and 27% of Tokyo, only 27 have received the actual jab, and they were really worried about Japan and all these people. And then they had the financial experts come out and say, by the way, we don't understand why the markets keep on going up. I mean, we just don't understand.
Well,
they don't even understand.
We know why. It's because it's another false flag. It's this facade of it's all fake. Everything is fake. It's inflated on purpose to make this fake president, look like he's actually doing something for the economy, when we all know it's going to just come crashing down. And that will be punishment for you not obeying all of the COVID guidelines.
And gold and silver, they do terrible when the market goes up. So if they're pumping up the market to make Joe Biden look like, you know, the all be all,
you need an independent fiduciary. You need an independent fiduciary. Call Carlos Cortez. I'm out of time. Call him 813-448-3446 or visit him online at CortezWM.com. The Rants of Izzo is up next. If you're listening on Mojo 5.0, until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's to any way you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. One day they're going to come to the car, and when they do, save the radio!